we continue. God, thank you that you do call us to be a part of your family. We thank you that your family is represented here in this local church. And yet this is just one small part of your larger family, your larger church throughout the United States and around the world. We confess that, I suppose, like any human family, we have, God, our tension points, our challenges, our differences of opinion, and our need for growth and for maturity. We confess to you, Lord God, that we are not all that you have called us together to be. We confess, God, how we sin against one another and against our neighbors beyond. Forgive us, Lord God, for the ways in which, even without knowing it, we have brought hurt to others. We have participated in the injustices of our world. And forgive us, God, of course, for those ways in which we have knowingly not served your purposes. The ways in which we have chosen to not extend love or actually to extend harm or hurt to others. Forgive us. Free us, God, from our sin. Free us from our self-centeredness, from our insecurity. Free us, God, from our fears, that we might live the loving life that you've created us to live. That we might experience and share the joy of the love that you have so abundantly given to us. We thank you that on this Christ the King Sunday, we remember that our King is one who loved the world not by just ascending to a throne, but by descending to earth and living as a servant and giving his life for the sake of others. By your Holy Spirit, lead us to follow our King, not just to name him as King, but to follow him as King. By your Holy Spirit, empower us, God, to walk the path of discipleship to your glory and, God, to the good of this world you love so much. For we pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, our King. Amen. So I remember the first time that I knew what was going on at the time, but that dehydration hit me like a brick wall. Yeah, you know, I'd been done a lot of camping, and I knew when I was away from water sources, I needed to make sure that my water bottles were filled and that I was drinking plenty of water, eating well, making sure that I was strong in the face of the challenge of the wilderness. What I didn't realize, what I didn't pay attention to, was that even living in the middle of a city like Chicago, I also had to take care of this body. That taking time to drink water or Gatorade or any number of things that were available to me was just as important there as it was when I was out in the wilderness. I mean, there are plenty of water fountains in Chicago. Every street corner has a gas station or a grocery store that you can get something to drink from. And yet, I'd gone through this long day at school and seminary and working and then gathering with my friends in the evening, playing basketball, and we were just running for all we were worth. I really thought that the big challenge, the big battle that I was involved in was winning the next basketball game, the one I was in. And so I threw myself into it. And I have no idea how many of them I won or lost that day. But what I do know is that at the end of the day, when about 10 o'clock, one of my friends said, let's go over to my place and we'll make some pancakes. And I'm like, that sounds like a great idea. We started heading over there and I just started feeling horrible. We got to his apartment. I said, you know, I got to go. I got to go to my apartment. I just feel lousy. And I went back and I was sick as a dog. I know now, looking back, it was because I hadn't taken care of my body. I hadn't had enough to drink during the day. I hadn't eaten. I was waiting for those pancakes at the end of the day. Living in this place of abundance, Chicago, I was starving my body. We do that to ourselves all the time spiritually. You know, I was talking to somebody this past week who has worked at some of our covenant camps, and we were talking about how great it is. And those of you who have been to Covenant Pines, you know how great it is when you're there, because you get to read the Bible a lot, you get to pray with others, you get to worship God, you get to be with other Christians who encourage you to faith and to life, you get to serve and love other people. All these things encourage your walk with God, help you to be strengthened spiritually. And then we come back here to the Twin Cities, and this is true for adults as well as for children. We come back here, and we've got Bibles all over the place. If you don't have one, let me know, and we'll get you one. They're available here in the Twin Cities, if you didn't know that. We've got plenty of time to pray, although most of us feel so busy that we just don't have time to pray. Guess what? We've got time to pray. We've got churches all over the place. If you want to gather to worship, you can find a place to worship. There are opportunities to serve, to participate in the work of God. There are brothers and sisters who would love to encourage you. You should speak with Pastor Jonah. Join a small group. Be a part of a group that encourages you to pray and to read the scriptures and to worship and to serve God. We have all the resources that we need, and yet we somehow go through our lives so often falling into these times where we don't pay attention to it. Like me on that day, we just go through it and we haven't been taking in the spiritual hydration, the spiritual food that we need. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Except for maybe a few spiritual giants out here. And I'm guessing if you're anything like me, even you, we're in this together. We all can fall away like that. We don't mean to, but we begin to become dehydrated, undernourished spiritually. We were talking at confirmation class this morning about how God's desire for us is not just that we be alive a little bit, not just that we're born anew a little bit, that we make it through our lives as little infants who kind of crawl along our way. God wants us to be fully alive. That's his desire for us. And the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 1, today's epistle lesson, Paul writes to the Colossians celebrating the fact that they've come alive in Jesus, that they've been given this hope from heaven, that they know Jesus is risen from the dead, that they believe in him so that they have new life in him. But he wants them to go beyond just being a little bit alive. He wants them to be fully alive in Christ. He wants them to live not just in heaven in some future day, but right now. And so he writes to them celebrating that they've come alive in Christ, that hope that Christ has given them is beginning to bear fruit, that they're beginning to share love with each other and with the world. But he goes on to say that having heard of how they've come alive in Christ, verse 9, Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, and to be honest, I'm not sure if this is on the PowerPoint or not beginning in verse 9 because I wrote up 11. So, but I'm going to start today because I love how the prayer actually begins in verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him as you bear fruit in every good work. And as you grow in the knowledge of God, may you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power. And may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So here's Paul's prayer for them, that they would not just be alive a little bit, but that they would live fully into this life God's given them. And I want to walk through this prayer that he's got to talk about what this would look like. He's praying for them that they may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So here Paul is asking that we would, that the Colossians and we would come alive in such a way that we know what God wants for us today. This is one of the great stumbling blocks of the evangelical church, of Christ Church in the world today. is that we've given so much focus into wanting people to make a commitment to Christ so they get into heaven that we haven't talked enough about how God has a purpose for our lives right now. That he wants us to be alive not just for eternity, but for today. God wants us to know what his will is for us today so we can experience and we can share the good news of God's love today. And so Paul asks, prays, pleads with God to help these people to be filled with the knowledge of God's will with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And in the Greek, that word, it's one word, spiritual wisdom, is the idea of knowing the principal fundamental truths of the scripture. What are the primary things God wants us to know? That's what that spiritual wisdom is. So, for instance, here's a fundamental fact. It never changes. No matter whether you're living in Ecuador or you're living in the United States or you're in the Congo, whether you're 20 years old or 90 years old or 2 years old, God wants you to know this fundamental fact. He loves you. Okay, that's just the basic truth. God wants you to know that. God wants you to know that you were created, actually, to love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That never changes. That's always the call. No matter who's president, your call is to love God. And do you remember what the next part is? To love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, no matter what happens tomorrow, this will still be true. God loves you, you're called to love God in response, and you're called to love your neighbor. In fact, Jesus explaining to us what he means by our neighbor, he says, as we've talked about, you should love your enemies. You should do good to those who hate you. You should bless those who curse you. You should pray for those who abuse you. And that's what Jesus is talking about when he says to love our neighbor, that we're to do these things today, tomorrow, and the next day. Wherever we might be living, whatever's going on in our lives, these truths remain the same. But Paul also says, in all understanding. And that word in the Greek gets at the application. Paul's praying that we would not only know these fundamental basic truths, but that then we'd be able to discern, how do I apply that today? At this stage in my life, with the gifts and the resources God's given me, how do I love God? And how do I love my neighbor? How do I trust God's love today? So I was speaking with somebody this morning who is facing some significant surgery this coming week. What does it mean for this person to know that God loves them? What does it mean to love God even as they're going through that? What does it mean to love neighbor? You know, Norm talking about that with the changes in our society right now and as we're struggling. What does it mean for us? I can't answer that question for all of us. It's part of what I struggle with as a pastor. We've got people here in this room who really think that this new administration was a very hopeful thing. We've got others who are fearful, and there's probably truth in all of this. What does it mean for you in the midst of that? To love God, to love your neighbor, to trust God's love. We've got to discern our way together forward in that. It's a challenge, I got to be honest. I know that in my preaching over the last few weeks, as we've talked about this, I've had people from both sides of the aisle, like, well, you know, you're going too far this way, you're going too far that way. And it's like, okay, I'm going to dance through the landmines here. Do you ever feel like you're dancing through the landmines in the midst of our society right now? Join the club. And may God help us to be gracious to one another. Norm and I have talked about this. Let me know when I'm stepping, you know, when I'm not saying what comes across the right way. I love you. You know this. So help me know how to love you better. We need to be able to have those conversations with one another, because the reality is not one of us, no matter how brilliant you are, no matter how many books you've read, none of us knows exactly what it means to love God and to love our neighbor in the midst of the challenges we face. Is that an amen? Amen. So we need to help each other here, and we need to be gracious with each other, and we need to pray for each other. We need to pray with each other. Certainly, I need your help. because I long to live out God's purpose. I want to do what Paul's talking about here. I want to live out God's will in my life, and I want to help you do that. We need to help each other do that. And as we venture forward to do that, Paul goes on to say, may you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power. You know, that we're going to do this. We're going to seek to discern God's will and to do God's will, to love God and to love neighbor. We're going to do this with strength. And as Paul talks about that, he's not saying, may you be strengthened enough to kind of make it forward, but may you be made strong to do this, to live out God's purpose, God's will in your life. I was over at the gym a week or two ago. It was really disconcerting. I went over to pick up these 5-pound weights because I'm building up my muscles, you know? And this guy walks up next to me and picks up the 105-pound weights. Did you get that? 5-pound weights, 105-pound. I'm looking at him and I say, are you kidding me? God wants us to be made strong like that bodybuilder. That's never going to happen to me physically. Well, maybe. I don't know. But I pray to God that it happens for me spiritually and that it happens for you, that you will be made strong, not just a little bit, but that as you're facing the challenges in your life, physically, emotionally, spiritually, as we're facing the challenges societally, as we're facing challenges as a church, that we won't just get enough strength to kind of timidly make our way along, but that we'll be made strong by the strength of his glorious power. Paul goes on and on in many of his letters talking about this glorious power of God. He just stumbles over himself in trying to explain it. At the first chapter of the Ephesians, to the Ephesians, he says this, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power, this immeasurable power, his great power. He just keeps saying it, that we would be made strong with all the fullness of his great power. That's what we long for. That's what we need in the midst of the challenges of our lives and of our world. To go into this world confident that God is with us, that he will strengthen us, that he is strengthening us, that we can face each challenge, trusting in God's grace. Paul goes on in this passage, this prayer for the Colossians. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience. And this idea of enduring with patience that Paul's talking about here is not just kind of clinging by our fingertips through whatever comes our way, but this fortitude that enters into the challenges with a patience that says, yep, that wave's coming at me, yep, that difficulty is coming at me, yep, even death itself is coming at me, and I'm going to endure this with a confidence in the power of God. You know, Paul in Romans chapter 8, talking about all the horrible things that can happen, death, powers, all these things that come. He says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. That's the kind of patience we're talking about. That I know that even as I go to the cross, I'm more than a conqueror. I know that when the whole world's against me, I'm going to be more than a conqueror. We're going to be more than conquerors through him who loved us. That's the kind of enduring patience Paul is talking about. And he says, the way to prepare ourselves for that is by practicing a joyful attitude of thanksgiving to God. Come on Wednesday night, 7:00. We're going to have a great time of thanksgiving in the sanctuary. Practice this day by day, giving thanks to God for his love, that he is with you through whatever is coming your way, that God loves you. Practice giving thanks. I think back over the history as we look back and we think of how God was faithful to Abraham as he ventured out through the challenges, to Jacob and to Isaac, how God was with Joseph as his brothers turned against him, as he was betrayed. I think of how God was faithful to the Israelites who were in Egypt in slavery, how God was faithful to them through the Exodus, how God was faithful to the Babylonian exiles and brought them to freedom. I think of how God was faithful to Jesus and to us even when Jesus died on the cross. We need to practice giving thanks to God, joyfully giving thanks, while we are patiently enduring, while we're moving forward. I was talking with a woman just a week ago in our neighborhood. I was out walking the dog and came across this woman walking hers and had heard that her husband was going through a significant treatment for cancer. And we started to share with each other. I asked her how it was going. And I said, you know, are you a person who prays? You know, would you want? I'd be happy to pray for you. Anyway, we ended up praying together, and she was grateful for that. And she said, you know, I feel like God has provided for us every step of the way. She said, it's been really, really hard, this journey. And I don't know how it's going to play out in this life right now. But step by step, God has provided. We talked about Psalm 23 where it says, you know, God prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You know, in the worst of life that's coming our way, God provides a table for us. God's goodness is nipping at our heels. God is there. And part of Paul's prayer here is that we would have eyes to see this, that we would give thanks along the way for the little tidbits as well as those tables of bounty that God promises to provide. And our practice of thanksgiving opens up our eyes. It helps us to be on the lookout for God's provision. It helps us to have that attitude of gratitude as we venture forward, knowing that God is with us. He has rescued us, it says, from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You see, God has already done this for us. The world might seem like we're not there yet, but already, if you've given your heart to Jesus Christ, if you've invited his Holy Spirit into your life, you've already entered into the kingdom of God. His realm surrounds you. You live in that kingdom, even though with your outward eyes, what seems to be is this kingdom of the world. God's kingdom is here right now for you, in you, through you, in this world. We've already been given the inheritance. We don't just receive it when we get to heaven. Paul tells us in the first chapter of Ephesians that we've been given every blessing. Every spiritual blessing, all of our inheritance is already ours. God has given us everything we need. And so we can live like that today in the midst of all the challenges that we face. Because Paul goes on to say, this is our King. This is the one we worship. This is the one we venture forward, in whose name we venture forward. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. You see, eight times over in these verses, these few verses, the word all is mentioned. This everything. Everything belongs to Jesus. All things are under his feet. He is the ruler of all things. And so whatever it is that you might be facing, whatever we might be facing, we need to know that Christ is King, already King. And that we can worship him, yes, in here, and we can go forward to face the challenges of this world, the challenges in our own lives with confidence, strengthened by his glorious power, enduring with patience, joyfully giving thanks, and yes, loving God and loving our neighbor, even when it's really hard to do, to the glory of God. God has a life for you to live today. May you be made strong to live it by his glorious power. Would you pray with me? Lord, we confess to you that we are an anxious people. Ever since Adam and Eve left the garden, we've been vulnerable to the world around us. We need you. We need, oh God, to rely on your strength. We need your Spirit to shape us and guide us according to your good will for our lives and world. We need you, oh God, to help us live in love for you and for our neighbor. Help us, we pray. We truly want to do this. We truly want to be a light in the darkness. We truly want to be citizens of your kingdom, even as we live in this world. We truly want to be vessels of your grace, God, especially to those who are most vulnerable in our society and in our world. We want, Lord God, to be your body here on earth. Make us strong by your glorious power. Make us wise amidst the choices and challenges. Grant that we may endure with patience while joyfully giving thanks to you, for you are our King, Lord of all, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.